Friday, the 13th of November, 1970. Channel 2 over. All of Channel 2 over. And Channel 1 right on the next reel. This is the beginning of the long visit with Buster this Friday night at supper time, the 13th of November, 1970. Channel 2 over.
Working in the daytime
now.
Oh. And we start back on night shift?
Yeah.
We'll just do that.
All right, sir.
It'll be about
3 weeks before she goes on night shift, see? Yeah. And whenever
she does, we'll... All right, sir.
Then I'll just be
at your
steak cooker.
Okay.
Tell you what, we get those steaks down there,
then. They say you've got good ones now. What? Who's that?
Well, he cuts them sort of special, you know, if you get after him, work on him a little bit. And he, what'd you say was wrong with that food? How did we think it was the points?
You mean the timing?
The timing.
Now, you can't prove by me how he come to that conclusion, though. The timing, going on the jump time, there's something wrong with it.
Oh.
No. Once in a while they'll do that, but not a Chrysler.
Why not a Chrysler?
Because
no,
automobile.
Oh.
There ain't too many cars that'll do that. I tell you, when everyone jumps time, that's bad. That's
it's
serious.
Not something you can just.
Because usually if you're timing chain, that thing is a little bit slack, and it jumps time.
Yeah.
You have to pull that whole motor down.
Lord
heavens,
look what's coming in. We
Have I got the one to check? Yeah, you got to pull that whole motor down if that thing jumps down. Sure have. But you can just screw that old timer up a little bit and say it's out of time. But the car ain't going to jump down unless that old timer's loose. You know? But it wasn't in the timing at all.
What was it?
The old automatic spark. Now, you know them things? Nobody ever thinks about hauling. I don't myself. I fixed one on grandma yesterday. They were so far gone, I had to put a whole thing on it, scrubbed it off. It wasn't working. It was on old car. And that thing wouldn't hardly pull itself up to that garage it running so bad. That thing just was going. And he's got that motor in the worst shape of any motor ever I've seen in my life.
Oh.
He don't put no oil in it. He don't change the oil. The old filter, I can look at it, it never has been changed. And I looked on top of that thing, and I told him last night, I come up to the house, you know, and I said, I've never seen a motor in the worst shape in my life. It's got hydraulic lifts in it. I said, first thing you know, I said, you ain't going to have no motor. And he won't either. You can't run a car like that. And I hear somebody down there shooting. They think something's even done started, don't they? And just as dry as it could be. Valves. They started knocking. And the oil light come on. Wasn't a bit of oil in the old motor. And that's the second time he brought that car up and there wasn't no oil in it. If he burns them inserts out of it, I bet you he'll know something.
Mm.
About $300 worth.
The car.
That's about what it costs to fix it. Time you grind that shaft down and put in new inserts, and you might as well put in rings and everything while you're at it. Or you'd have just jumped the old car.
Yeah.
But you know, some people don't never check their oil.
Gosh, I
checked that transmission oil just now. It looked like to me it needs about a quarter in it too, you know? You checked it lately?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't have it running. I just sitting there, and then I pulled that gauge out and looked at it. But I thought I need a quart. That little Falcon of mine, I had to put one in there about every 3 weeks. I put one in there.
Transmission.
Mm-hmm. It blows it out.
The oil.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt if you've ever put it in that car, have you? Transmission oil in. That Plymouth I got
time.
Huh?
I put it in all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
In the transmission.
No. What do I put in?
You put in the motor, don't you?
I put in transmission over there on the right there where it's hard to get to.
Way down the bottom?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Why, is it leak?
No, it just takes some.
It blows it out then.
Month or two.
Well, mine, I take on that little Falcon, take what it'll do. It don't leak, it blows it out the exhaust pipe. Now, you wouldn't think that thing will do that, but it will. There's a valve that runs up to the motor, you know, and that thing will suck a little bit up there and blow it out. Because a lot of times you put too much in it and you hear that old motor just rattling. Sure will. Don't hurt nothing particular. Because after it uses it down a little bit, it stops that.
Mm. You know, just after we got that, all those rubber inserts in the transmission were dried and they give out.
Hmm.
And don't you know, I took it down there and he fixed it. The place up there on North Main, where Earl Stanley works, he didn't do it, but up there where he works.
Well, I don't know.
And after he worked on it,
he was all right, eh?
But it's blowing out a little bit, as you say.
Well, golly, I didn't think he was going to get the car to you this morning. I had to saw him close.
Now, what was that? Automatic spark?
Automatic spark. That's the advanced spark, they call it. And them old points look so bad, I just went ahead and put some in there. You know, last time I drove that car here, it kind of wanted to kind of jerk back and pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, points, they don't make them to last anymore.
No.
They don't.
No.
And plugs either. Because I took a plug or two out and they was okay. You know, plugs are good. But I put them all light plugs in there and they're good.
Well, they're the ones you put in.
They're good too.
Don't you know I had those light ones in there?
Yeah, you had them old Champion light plugs and they done spread the part and everything else. Them good plugs in there now. And I looked at them, they're just as good as they are. Put them in there.
They're
looking
pretty good, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And them points that I put in there today, they're going to last a long time. Because I got some heavy duty points in there today and I got them a little bit set wide and they'll last longer.
Yeah.
And,
will they?
That little Falcon I got, boy, that thing can use up more points and plugs than any car I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
Just about every 2 months I had to put in a set of plugs and points. Burns them up. I want them little Falcons so bad about burning up them plugs. But boy, it'll do it.
Well, now, this little Falcon that, Marvin got over there. It had 80,000, 100,000, something like that on it. And he kept driving it, and it finally gave way. I haven't seen him since it did.
Hmm.
But now, he talked like that and never took anything. And he got it, you know, how long he's been working up there.
Marvin Townsend? He done something to it. You can't run one that far without doing
it was had that much on when he got it.
Yeah. Oh. Well, now this little Falcon I got had 87 on it. It's got 110 now, and I put about 3 sets of plugs and points in it.
Yeah.
They carbon them up. I don't know why it does that.
Yeah.
And it always carbons up about 3 of them. Two of them. So I always just go in and put a whole set in and be done with it.
Oh yeah. Much simpler.
I cleaned them one time. It worked out fairly good. I decided to go ahead and put in the whole thing and be done with it, you know.
Yeah.
The little thing, it's been so faithful that I don't mind spending a little money on it.
When they're faithful.
Yes, sir. I got a the woman of Oviana that runs a big farm. And not very long ago, she was kept bellyaching about that thing, having to put in plugs and points, you know. And I told her, I said, that old car don't owe you a dime. I said, must you run that car and they had no trouble with it?
Uh-huh.
I said, a lot of people had rear end trouble, transmission trouble, valve trouble.
Yeah.
And I said, you ain't had no trouble. She said, no, but said, plugs and points and gasoline and oil cost. I said, well, why don't you try walking a while and see how you like that? I said, but she didn't much want to do that. She comes from all the way down here at Martin. That's outside of Lowell, where that prison farm is down there, way back in them woods.
Mm-hmm.
Takes that car and goes all the way to Dr. Graham, she works up there, and back. Well, that's a long ways every day. And that old car hadn't give her no trouble about anything. I said, why? I told her one day, I said, you hate to even put a set of tires on that thing. She said, I know it, they cost money.
Yeah.
Man, she's kind of tight.
Well, how did you get in touch with her? Or she with you?
Up there? I done forgot. I done forgot how we did get mixed up now. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
She's been a customer for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You see how she did get up there. I don't even remember. And now her sister, I do all her work too. both of them are sectionists up at Craig and Graham, you know. And they're nice people. Now, the other girl don't mind spending money at all, you know it?
Yeah.
No. She'll tell you right quick, bust it, do anything you want to it. And of course, I generally know what to do to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this other girl, she's, of course, she's got three kids, you know. Two now, because one of them about grown. And the old man got the biggest kind of farm out there. They make pretty good money. And the voice makes her sad, and that thing goes down. She said, oh my. Oh my. Man, she does get sad.
We'll just try to drive the Chrysler for a while. All that old.
Well, it burns up all that gas?
Yeah.
Well, the old station wagon she got finally went down. Now she's driving a little old Rambler.
Yeah.
And I fixed that old heater. I pulled the heater out and the radiator out of it. Because she'd have some heat. And that radiator man charged, let's see, $12 just to boil that thing out. And on that old heater, it's got a little radiator too, you know. And I think he charged $8 to solder it. And that light killed her. Poor old Rabbi. I said, Rabbi, I said, you got to keep warm. And after she turned that thing on, that thing was going to shoot that old air out. She says, I don't care if it did cost it. I'm glad I got it fixed. I ain't going to freeze to death. And it does work perfect, you know. Then the other day, your thing got running like yours was. Real bad, you know. And I went about, you got to have plugs and points in this thing. Well, that run about $18. On that Chevrolet, it run $25. You take a car like that, and either one of them cars yours, in Gainesville, they get about $30 now. You know, to put a tune-up on it. Plugs and points and condenser and time it. And but I always do it for about $25, you know.
Oh, it's phenomenal the way that
they... Boy, they know how to work them
things. They can add them figures.
They can do that thing, can't they?
Oh, yes, they can. And don't bat an eye. Of course, they don't give it to you. It's the secretary or somebody.
They ain't got the faces, have
they? They haven't got
the faces. Like I have to do.
That's right.
That's bad, too. Hey, that's bad about me having the faces of somebody and tell them.
Well, now, yeah.
See, if I could hide in back there and give somebody a bill... It wouldn't be so hard on me, on my nervous system, would it?
Yeah. But now, you'd rather just collect right when it's done, hadn't you?
It's a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Well, not only that. I enjoyed here lately. It costs so much to live and everything. It's just from hand to mouth here lately. You take me. Just the other day, I had a whole lot of insurance due. Now my taxes are due on all my land, you know. Man, it's rough, I'm telling you. Have to buy groceries, you know, all that stuff. And I'm sending that girl to school. We had to go to the finance company and borrow some money to send her, you know, to IBM school.
Oh.
She was going to Santa Fe College, you know, but she wasn't learning nothing over there, so she quit. She said she wasn't learning nothing. Well, she's passing that thing with no trouble at all. She's making good grades, didn't even study. Didn't I tell you they lowered the standard of education, you know, over there? Well, she didn't have a bit of trouble. But when she gets through, she'd have to go to university probably, you know, and take a course. Well, she's taking a course now. When she gets through, she can get a job at IBM school and make just as much as she would if she went through the university, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Practically.
Oh, yes.
Because them IBM machines pay good. I think they, what is it? Between $300 and $350 a month, isn't it? And they'll guarantee you that.
Yeah. You know, if everybody who went to Santa Fe in places like that and wasn't learning nothing quit, you wouldn't have many
friends. No. No, you wouldn't.
Well, it's just, you know,
she's
smart to know she wasn't
learning it. She knew it. She realized it.
She didn't have to study and she could make good grades.
She told us, she said, Dad, I'm just wearing out your automobile for nothing.
Burning up the gas.
Yeah. I thought I'd go learn something out over there. You know, she wanted to be a psychologist, you know. And she said, I'm just not learning anything. I said, you're passing, aren't you? She said, oh, good night. So I can pass no trouble at all. So that's the easiest place ever I've seen in my life about passing. So I don't even study. Well, that boy of mine passes and don't even study at night. He don't even study. He's over at GHS.
Yeah.
See, since they put these colored people in there with the white people, they have lowered that standard of education to where they're none of them learning anything.
They walk them all through.
And they don't, over at junior college, they don't flunk none of them niggas.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
No. And so therefore, they just rush them right on through there, you know.
Yeah.
That was the trouble that Mickey Nope had, you know, whenever they had a school there. The teachers there, you know, didn't require too much studying and all that, and they could always claim that it was an accredited high school, you know, or grammar school, as far as that goes. And whenever they went to go to school, they had trouble, because back then it was real hard to learn, you know, which it isn't now at all, because it got 700-800 people in one class there, and they just talk to them, they get it or don't get it, I guess. Yeah. You know.
You know, that girl of yours picked up some a judgment somewhere. I wonder where she got it.
Right up there. Observing. Just observing, watching people, how they did and how they acted, and she had sense enough to know she wasn't getting it. There wasn't nothing there to get.
Yeah.
That's what she realized. She's kind of like me. She wasn't born yesterday.
That's what I was getting at. You think it's your influence?
No, it wasn't my influence at all. I had nothing to do with it. She just said, you know, sis, whenever I get out of this school, sis, I'm going to have to go to university 2 or 3 years before I can ever get a job making any money.
Right.
And she says, I think I'm going to go and do something else. I said, what? She said, IBM. She said, I ain't got to go in about 4 months and I'll get out of there with a job. And pay me as much as it would be for spent 2 or 3 years away at the university.
Yeah. Well, now, where did she go to that IBM place?
Where did she go? It's on Main Street.
Yeah.
It's right
downtown.
Right downtown. It's right across from the back in the Woolworth store.
Is it?
Right close to where the old First National Bank used to be.
Yeah.
The old one, you know, right next to it upstairs there. And they're strict on them, too. Which is a good thing. They wasn't strict on over at Santa Fe. Whenever she walks in there after, I think it's 9 o'clock, you don't get in that door. That door's locked. And that's a good idea, too. Because they're liable to attract the attention of them other people in there while they're working, you know, and studying. And working. Go bust in there just any time you want to.
That's right.
You got to learn punctuality. And you might as well learn it right now.
You know, it's a shame that anybody has to learn it. It looks like they all just start out like that, don't it?
Well, you know, some places try to tell me that you can go to school, learn on the job. People don't want that. They don't want that. If I got to get a man in that garage there and teach him how to mechanic, it's worse on me. Then I might as well be doing it myself. I done too much of that. I got to stop everything I'm doing and show them how to do it, and that's why I end up doing it myself. See? You do. I've done that plenty of times.
Oh, it'd kill me.
The man will say, I don't understand that, and you'll go ahead and do it, and that's why you done the job.
You know the reason I quit doing it.
That's right.
And same thing here applies to you.
I'm going to put my saddle up.
Hey, do what?
Don't y'all say anything out
here. We like to tell a joke to you while you gone.
I just about quit doing things out here. I get somebody out here don't know how to work, Buster, and it just kills me.
Why, sure.
It just kills me.
Worry to death? Work you to death.
Yeah. Now, you know, when they're young and learning, that's different. But when they're old enough to know how, it's different. Now, this little boy that comes out here, he's still in school. He's maybe 16, 14, 15, 16, I don't know how old he is. Anyhow, he's running that little Ford tractor, and it had the fertilizer spread on it. And he is down here putting up a fence that fell down. His horses over on that side. Well, he put the tractor up. First thing I noticed in it is 2 or 3 days later, I went out there, and I just looked over in the fertilizer bin there to see what was in it, how much seed was in it. And that burned. There was a brand new come on. You know what I'm talking about?
A come along, yeah.
Come along.
Yeah, I know what
yes.
I mean.
Brand new. See, he'd been using it down there and just put it over there and forgot it. I looked down there, and he stopped the tractor right there on that old plastic pipe that carries water down there. Well, I wasn't...
And it just goes right on down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it'll bust wide open.
Oh, yeah. It won't take that.
Well, Pete, now that's what you get into when you got help that's not, what I started to say to begin with. I started to say undesirable, but I didn't mean that. I mean, it's something else. People
learn on the job.
Yeah, that's unperfected help, you know.
Now I went on there. The next time I went on there, I went on to start.
Inexperienced help, what I meant.
I went on to start cutting. And first thing I noticed was he hadn't cut it off at the sediment bulb. You fixed it, but it still leaks.
It does.
Yeah, it's not the. It wasn't that thing up there.
Gasket.
It was in the jigger down there. Well, anyhow.
Oh.
Anyhow, he hadn't cut that back off. And I reached in there to get something in the toolbox, and the tools was laying over there on the battery.
Oh, gosh.
The long wrenches, see, that was, it hadn't...
Well, it hadn't killed it.
It hadn't killed it. But that, now, that's four things, just one time. And that's always the way it is. Now, he's out here one night, I run out of gas, and he put some gas in there, and he laid the caps up on the trunk of the car in the dark, and we had to look the longest time to find them caps.
Hmm.
But now that's you expect the youngsters to learn, but if you had to do that all day long, you'd get tired, wouldn't you?
I had no boy helping me, old Freddie Martin. That was the sorriest help I've ever had in all my life. And you know, he can't work nowhere. He worked out there at Atkins's. Old man Atkins paid him good out there and fed him. You know, they run a cafe on that truck stop on the other end of town?
Yeah.
Well, he was working out there at that other station.
Yeah.
Every day at dinner, he'd carry him down there and give him the biggest kind of feed, because they feed good down at that cafe.
Oh, do they?
Yes, sirree.
Is that Ms. Atkins?
Yeah. And she'd feed that doctor good, and he'd eat more than anybody in the whole place. They had to give him more than anybody else. Cause boy, he can eat. I used to invite him up to the house, and I just had to quit. My wife told me one day, I'm going to kill you if you bring that scoundrel home anymore. I said, why? I said, he's about to eat us out of house and home.
Right.
Said, you ever seen anybody eat as much as he does? I said, I never paid no attention. Said, well, I'd give him a whole big plate full of spaghetti, meatballs. I said, by George, I thought it was twice as much as anybody else. Said he wanted more. And so he goes down to Ms. Atkins, said, drinks three or four glasses of tea and eats all that stuff, you know, and then he pays him good. Then he got so he didn't want to work on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Atkins didn't say nothing about it. Still paying him $35 a week. He ain't even worth that. Then he got so he wanted to lay off on Monday. And he would do it. One day I asked him, I said, Freddie, what's the matter? He ain't working today. Oh, I'm still on vacation. I said, vacation? He said, yeah. So I took the weekend off. So I took Saturday and Sunday off. So I said, might as well take the day off, too. I don't mind going to run you off to keep on doing that. Sure enough, by the way, went out there, and old man Atkins said, I don't need you. And that old boy just lazy, you know. But I had him helping me, and every time I wanted him to do something, I'd have to tell him. I said, Freddie, hand me that hammer. He could see I needed it.
Yeah.
And he would pick it up and bring it back to you. And you'd have to tell him, good gosh, well, I'm wasting my voice. I might as well go over and pick the thing up and get it. But I'd look at him, look at the hammer, look at him, look at the hammer. You know, you might as well say, get it his way, he'd do. He'd look at me like he thought I'd done gone crazy. But I'd look at him and look at the hammer, you know. Just might as well say, give it to me, you know. Because he knew I'd need it, you know, and I'd stand there, you know, and I'd look at him. And his eyes would swell up, and he'd look at me, and I'd say, what are you doing?
I told you, tell something
I did. I tell about an old sorry boy I used to have working for me. And he's talking about how these kids are, you know, you've got to teach them, you know, on the job, you know, and it's hard. You might as well be doing it yourself.
Yeah.
And I had old Freddie having this old tall boy, you know, in the garage. And maybe I'd need a wrench or a hammer, and the hammer would be laying on the floor.
Yeah.
And I'd look at him, and then look at the hammer. And look at him, look at the hammer. Just might as well say, give me that hammer,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell him every time. He could
see
I needed a hammer.
Yeah.
Then he'd look at me like he thought I'd done gone crazy, you know. Yeah, like I was looking at that hammer.
Yes,
he couldn't figure out why I was looking at that hammer. You know it? He couldn't figure it out. Well, he was kind of retarded a little bit when he was going to school. In a way, he's retarded. All them teachers said he couldn't learn. I think he's just too rotten lazy to learn.
Yeah.
And, because I'll tell you one thing, he knows how to eat. Now, buddy, he can do, and he knows how to get out of work.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows how to get out of work. One time, he come up there and he says, Buster, let's have a barbecue. And I said, okay. So we went down to Mr. Dennis down there and bought up a whole lot of steak and pork chops and ribs. And that knocker, I thought, would eat his food self to death. And made him sick.
Up at your
house? Yeah, out in the yard. And you know Jack Harry, don't you? Old Jack, he was doing the barbecue. And old Jack did barbecue. And he makes good barbecue sauce, too. Yeah, man, old Jack knows how to make barbecue sauce. He's got his own mixture. He just made up a remedy of his own. And
I didn't know he could do anything besides
shoot the bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, old Jack, he's pretty good on cooking.
Oh, where'd he pick it up?
I declare if I know.
He never had anything to cook himself.
Well, he's always batched.
Oh.
Yeah, he's always cooked for his own self.
Oh, has he?
And a man that can eat his own cook, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that?
He survived.
He ain't never killed him. I ain't never seen him sick. Except when he got too many beers on his shirt, he might get a little under the well. But old Jack's a good, he cooked good barbecue. Anyway, old Freddie got sick of the dog that night. I told my wife, I said, I want you to fill that knocker up one time. And she'd fill an old plate plum full of slaw. You know, give him meat and she'd fill his plate plum full of slaw and had something over there. I thought I forgot what it was now. But anyway, next day I seen him, he says, white as snow. Man, he's white as that plate there.
Still
sick. I said, Freddie, what's the matter? Man, I'm sick of the dog. I said, what's the matter with you? I said, you eat too much? Too much of that barbecue salt and, you know, rich food, you know.
Yeah.
And eat too much of an abundance of it to make you sick, you know.
He just slows it down.
Man, I mean, he wouldn't even know how to take, he'd go to the one, he's a little self-conscious, you know. He'd go to one side, man, I mean, he'd dig in that stuff, you know. I look if I'd get choked in a minute, but he didn't. And he said, you know what happened to me? I said, I don't have the slightest idea. I said, what happened to you? He said, when I got home, he said, that house was hot. Been, you know, it's in during the summer. It was last summer. And he said, that room of mine, somebody had the door closed and it hadn't cooled off. And I done eat all that barbecue and said, it made me sick on my stomach. So I had to go out there in the backyard and vomit. Said the old man, said, hey, Freddie, what's the matter with you, boy? You ain't been drinking, have you? He said, no. No man thought he'd been drinking liquor, see? A beer or something, you know? And after a while, he said, he had to go out there again. I said, well, I'll prove to you. I said, you don't have to act a darn hog. But he did. He just eat so much, it made him sick.
Well, I tell you,
an old hog will quit before he gets sick, won't he? Hey, won't he?
Yeah.
Old hog don't even do that. He has got sense enough to quit.
Yeah.
Or an old chicken. You know, an old chicken will sit there and eat the leg. They'll fall down, won't they?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? If you put enough food out there, an old chicken will eat till he can't walk. Won't they?
Really?
His crawl will get so big.
Yeah, he can't walk hardly.
Yeah.
Just put enough out there. Just all that they can eat, you know, and see what happens. An old hog will do that. He can't hardly tote it, won't he? He'll fall, he'll lay down and go to sleep, won't he? But a person ought to have
wheel.
A horse wheel, too?
Yeah. They're supposed to have sense, but they're
available
for when to stop.
No.
Yeah, they get sick, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I would have colic. Well, some people's that way. But they're not numerous. What I mean is, people, most of them will stop.
Yeah.
They don't really got enough. Well, I know when I got enough, I quit. I know a lot of times I have something on my plate there. Well, I said, you ain't going to finish up the supper? I said, heck no, I got enough. My daddy's all that real. He had enough to quit.
You just stop with something on your plate?
Well, not too much. I generally know about how much I want, you know. But I don't know how to fix my plate no more hardly. My wife always fixes it. It's a funny thing. You know, whenever she used to work as a waitress, you know, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Over
she
at
Davis. Growing up.
Huh?
Was that?
Yeah, whenever she was young.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they always would get their plates fixed over there. You know, them cooks over at Beatty's, whenever they'd order something, they'd always have a plate already fixed. And she got in that habit, and she got so she fixed my plate right off of the stove. She'd fix it and bring it to me. And been doing that ever since. Except now, sometimes when we have fresh beans, something like that, a big pot of beans and potatoes, she'll set them on the table and say, get all you want. But she'll fix my plate, you know. So like I say, if I fixed it myself, I'd know just about how much I want. But whenever she'll fix it. But she knows about how much I want, too. That's plenty. Hey, she knows how much I want, that's plenty.
You know, I never thought about that. I used to think how nice it'd be. I used to know some people who had a nurse. And but I never thought about that, see. You married a nurse, and somebody brought up a restaurant, too.
Yeah. Well, I put her through that nursing school, you know.
Yeah.
One day she says, well, I think I'll be a nurse. I said, suit yourself. She said, you know how waitress work is. She said, people don't respect you, think nothing of you. I said, yes, they do. She said, well, she says, when you got a position kind of like a nurse's got, says people kind of look up to you. I admire the little girl for wanting to try to make something out of herself. You know, she brought up this poor little jug of turkey, you know. But she was nice, and I knew it. And so I helped her every way I could. She appreciated it, too. And she's got a good position over at that VA now. She makes good money over there. You know, that Veterans Hospital is operated like the Army. They judge you according to what you know. In other words, in the Army, you can be a private, or a corporal, or a sergeant, or a lieutenant, or a captain, whatever you make out of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And she done made several advances over there.
And
she couldn't do nothing to that Lottery General.
No.
They wouldn't, no, since she quit. Been 7 years in that recovery room. And I mean, she was good in there. Everybody said she was. And, man, after she quit and went over that VA, she just got all kind of telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Come on back. Come on back. We miss you. We need you. We miss you.
Yeah.
I told her, I don't pay no attention to that old sympathy business. I said, I ain't putting nothing in your pocket. And the benefits is better over at the Veterans Hospital, too, you know.
Okay.
And like I say, she done. And I think she's up for another advancement in about 3 or 4 months from now. And you know the government raised you anyway, automatically.
Yeah.
Once in a while. After you're there for a while, you know.
Yeah.
And,
well, Buster, you retire.
Me?
You can retire.
You want me to? I might do it. The only reason I haven't, she hadn't said so.
Uh-huh.
Other people's mentioned it, but she never has. No, I got to keep going, too.
But now that sense of stuff, you know, they would do everything they could to get her to come back over there,
They did. They even offered her a little raise.
A little.
She said, well, that won't amount to what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but she said, look at the friends you got over here in Lottery General Hospital. Said, look how nice we are to you. Said, they're nice to you over there, too. What's the difference? Said, they will be later on. I'll get to know all of them. And there's a lot of girls quit from the Lottery General and went over there. And finally, later on, they had to raise their wages after she'd over there about a year.
Yeah.
One of the girls told her that they had to raise their wages pretty good. The county commissioners did.
Yeah,
they had to keep them all walking off.
You know what I'd do, Buster? I'd give the money to the girl, people like your wife, instead of the darn doctors. They're the ones who help you through.
The doctors don't do nothing. Why, who was that telling that not very long ago? This doctor hadn't been in there, but good gosh, he hadn't seen him but one time. And he said, I guess the doctor wants to come in while I was asleep. And sent him a, Mary Weaver.
She reads the chart.
Mary Weaver, yeah. Well, the nurse is doing all the work, and he's just reading the charts. Well, how does he know what they're doing on that chart? They might just mark it down and not do nothing. Thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
And Mary, we was, you know, whenever she fell down the steps, you know?
No, yes, absolutely.
And she bunged herself up real bad?
Yeah.
Well, she said she didn't even see a doctor, hardly. Sent her a great big bill there, you know? So that's what I say, them nurses deserve more money.
And there wasn't anything she could do about it.
Nothing. That ain't about all you. That don't help none, does it?
Oh, that doctor's bill, it adds up every day over there.
Yes, sir.
You don't see him. But you hear from him later, don't you?
Yeah, kind of like I, you know, that old Chevrolet truck of mine went to the bad, you know, 2 weeks ago. Don't hear, you know, it's skipping, you know. And me, like everybody else. Of course, anybody else's car starts skipping, I tell them, I don't let that happen. It'll ruin it. And it will. And I tell everybody else to do that, but yet I let mine run right on. I say, I'll get to it later on. Whenever I pull that head off by George, it ruined it. And that's one of them old big heads, you know. That thing's that long, and good gosh, that thing's big, you know. And I took a bit of while. I like the way they do that kind of work, you know. I said, put me a seat in there. He got to look at that thing. He said, man, you can't put no seat in that head. So you done run that head. So how long you been running that thing? I said, I don't know. Too long. He said, I bet if anybody else come in the garage there, you'd tell them not to do it, wouldn't you? I said, yeah. And he said, you turned around and wrote your own, didn't you? I said, yeah. So I had to go get another head and then had to have it grind down. And by the way, he told me $15 just to seat those things. And he didn't do a very good job either. I didn't count no more heads over there to have them seated.
Oh.
He didn't grind that thing out good as I thought he ought to.
Just the man that is doing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he does all that?
Now, old Tensi Fonbaugh used to be down here at Boardman. He used to work down. He'd grind it out good. I think it's as smooth as it could be.
And Jarhead?
No. Old Jarhead, he stayed drunk all day. You can't get him to do nothing. Every time I go down, he's drunk as a good.
Really?
He ought to quit that. Gonna kill him, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Dead gum right it will. He's a good old boy and a good mechanic.
Yeah.
But
he can fix
anything. Yeah. Last time I was down there, old George had.
But he's so cranky.
He went down there and got him a pint and went back down there and was sitting there drinking. I said, George, you can't work and drink that stuff in the daytime. He said, oh, I was worried about what I done last night. I said, what'd you do? He said, they claim I whacked out Macintosh. What he meant by that was he'd run that old truck up and down that street wide open. That they had the law after me and everything else. I said, boy, you better cut out that fool stuff. You kill yourself in that thing. He said, I don't know nothing about it. But they come up there telling me all this stuff this morning. Man, you ought to quit that.
Oh, really?
He said it. He didn't know, he didn't even remember it. They said that they told him that he'd run that old truck up and down the road wide open without no muffler on it. And, I said, man, you'll not do that. I said, you kill yourself in that thing.
I thought he'd have more sense to do that, even if he's dead drunk.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Well, you know, he'd been so cranky, he wouldn't work on just anybody's job or some jobs he didn't want to do. I used to see him do that way back when I first came down.
Yeah, I used to go down there once in a while, and he claimed that he could weld this, that, and the other. And I go down there and say, I don't want to fool that thing.
Yeah.
That's when he's down at the house.
Yeah.
So I just quit going down there.
So he just wouldn't do it?
No.
Yeah.
He said, it's too hot to weld this morning. He says, I'm doing something else. And he's kind of independent, you know.
Yeah.
Well, everybody gets that way. You know it? Kind of, I made an old fellow mad yesterday, I guess. He come up and he had a car like you got out here, except at the Plymouth. And he had brake trouble on the back that didn't pass the inspection station. He said, you got a wheel puller out in the bar? I said, no, sir, I sure haven't. I said, I got a wheel puller, but I don't loan it to nobody. I don't either. Them wheel pullers are expensive. And you can break them. If you tighten down one side up more than you do the other, you know, don't get it in tilter and get it equalized, you know, for the pressure. Well, you pop one of them ears off. And I loaned that thing one time, the fellow broke it, and then he had it welded back, you know. And I said, I can't loan that thing out. He said, well, you take that wheel off and put some washers in it. And I said, yeah. He said, how much you charge? I said, $7. He said, okay. He said, I'd rather use the wheel puller myself. I said, yeah, but you got to heat that thing to get that hub off there. So this morning he's going to come back, you know, at 11 o'clock. Do it, you know. But he didn't show up, and I was kind of glad he didn't. You took them rotten old wheels and pull them off and rework them old. That ain't no easy job. And I told him, oh, yeah, I really got mad. I told him, he didn't get mad, but he just rubbed his head the wrong way. I said, you going to work tomorrow? He said, no, I got to get this car inspected. I said, you can get it inspected Saturday. I said, why don't you just bring it up in the morning, leave it, go on to work, come back tomorrow afternoon, I'll have it ready for you. No, I'm going to come up here and help you. I said, I don't need no help. People get in my way and talking about helping me.
Yeah.
Old man from Orange Lake come up this morning, and that old man got in my way. Did you see him up there in a little Ford? And man, he just got in my way. Oh man, Shershire. He used to live between here and Makinopi. Had all them old boys. On this grade, not the end of it, just before we get to the highway. Down near Hannah's, don't you know? No, had all them old bad boys, don't you remember? It's kind of rough, you know. But the old man and the old lady was there just as nice as they can be. But anyway, that old guy just kept getting in my way, and I finally told him. I said, you go ahead and stand over here out the way. And he did. He was nice about it. But that old guy this morning, he knows just enough about a thing like that to get right in the way and stay there.
Well, look, Buster, it seemed to me like most of the mechanics and I ever knew, they doesn't care whether you was watching them or not.
Some of them don't. But I tell you, I just makes me nervous anybody watch me. Now, old Shorty up down at Harry's Beckwith gun store, you know old Shorty?
No. I know Harry Beckwith.
That's his brother-in-law. He came in, he said, Buster, don't you put a water pump on this old Chevrolet? And I said, okay. I said, can you just leave it here in the morning? I said, I'll just bring my car up and pick it up and come back. He said, okay, that'll be all right. Next morning, he's down there, you know. So he called up from Weaver's. Buster says, come on down here waiting on you. I said, man, I said, I thought you were going to leave that car home. He said, oh, I'll come down here and help you. Well, he used to work at that school bus garage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept handing me a wrench. He'd hand me a wrench that I didn't need. That was where the trouble was coming in. He'd look down here and see that I was going to do something. He'd start to hand me a wrench. It'd be the wrong one, you know. Finally, I said, Shorty, I says, just leave the thing alone. Let me handle it. And you know, he got me so nervous. So I picked the radiator up, they're trying to put the thing back. He said, what are you doing? So you got the radiator backwards. I said, I know it. I said, I just want to see if you'd notice it. I hadn't noticed it. But I said, put the rotten radiator in there back, and you can't put one in there backwards. But he had me so frustrated. You can do that. That old Horace Brush down there, I was talking to him one day, and he said, it don't worry me at all, so people can get up there and watch me. So he'll worry me. But
you know, I have noticed that, but I couldn't do anything.
I can do a better job, man, do like you done. Just bring the car down and leave it there and give me time to look at it and figure out what was wrong. I got to look at that thing this morning. I was trying to figure out what was wrong with it, you know.
Because you said timing.
No. I was just standing there watching it, you know, and I could tell that thing wasn't advancing, you know. And the reason I got to watching it was on account of that old rattle that day. It wasn't advancing. And it was on the outside. It was on the outside and you could see it. Now yours is on the inside and you can't see it.
Yeah.
See?
Uh-huh.
You can't see it. But I could tell that thing wasn't picking up. But on this old Rambler, it had a rod went on the outside of that stripper. There ain't many cars like that. I think a Rambler's the only one like that. And this old boy had noticed it too. He could tell, old Mitchell. He works a little bit on cars once in a while. And he mentioned it to me. He said, the advanced spark plug thing's not working. So sure enough, I go over and step on the old gas with my hand. I looked at it, and you could tell it wasn't working. And I could tell the motor wasn't picking up. See, that car of yours out there back here, or any car that way as far as that goes, that old one will be the same way. When that thing's idling, that spark will come back and retard, see? But whenever you step on that gas, it'll advance. And I have never in my life figured out what advantage that is in a car. I haven't. They could set that thing stationary. And I don't see why it wouldn't be just as good as having all them springs in that thing down that distributor. That old distributor was just full of springs all under there.
To get out of it?
Yeah, that thing, you get it out of it, you can't hardly get them back in there, but I'm used to them, I know what to do to it, you know. And an old Model A, you push your spark up and down.
That's right.
You remember that? When you crank it, you push it up. Or you pull it down. These cars, this day, does it automatically.
Yeah. I never
realized. Well, I guess that's one reason they got it there, because it's easy to crank when it's, mm-hmm. Because they have a tendency to want to kick back if they didn't. That's probably
mm-hmm.
the reason, you know.
That automatic.
Yeah. And it retards it till you get it cranked, and it advances its own self, see, automatically.
I don't think Brother Lee ever trusted anybody with his car. Now, when he went into the big places, of course, he couldn't go back there. But if he had, he'd acted just like he did down there. What I'm thinking about, he wouldn't ever left his car harder down there and gone off and given you time to work with
him. Yeah, sometime he did.
Did he?
Yeah. He'd been going down there to Birch's, but he don't go down there no more. I think Birch must have made him mad about something. He don't go down no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever see him make it up no more. And, yeah, sometime he would.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to figure, it's hard to think that that somebody has got to, can't just look at it and tell you what's wrong with it. It's got to sort of keep
figure
his
it
mind
out.
A while, think it over.
The biggest thing that him and I disagreed about was about that old them brake shoes on that old car.
Yeah.
See, now he had good brake shoes on there, but they had got some fluid on them. See? Well, now on this car of yours, it had fluid on them shoes, them brand new shoes. Well, I'm afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not never dry out. You can't take that chance on the front. Now, you can on the back, but not on the front.
Yeah.
And that's on the front of his. I just tried to save him some money, and he wanted me to. He didn't want to put no shoes on that thing, which you can understand. And, but usually that stuff don't never get out of them shoes. I just went on and bought two more brand new ones. I didn't worry about it. Now, they used to put that thing back together when you got new cylinders on there and get out here and slam on the brakes and run into somebody over there and get hurt. I get killed. Brakes is too cheap for that.
It's that locking that scares.
Well, it'd have probably done the same thing with those new shoes that were saturated with fluid.
Because
I've seen that done before, and Lee's done that. And that thing would run perfect for a day or two, and that's why they start locking again.
Buster, your wife's daddy, what's her name?
Bertie?
Bertie, I never want to call her name. Now, he didn't have much education. And he never got
too.
Along very well. But now, there must have been some good influences somewhere along there. He had some good qualities somewhere along the line.
You mean that she inherited?
Yeah.
Everybody's got some good qualities somewhere or another.
Yeah.
And the lifeline,
yeah.
You know it? And the
well,
old family
you knew
tree.
Him.
Huh?
You knew him.
Yeah.
Well. What was the best you could say about him?
That old Buck?
Yeah.
Well, old Buck's all right. I always figured he was poor and all that, but he'd always been decent, as far as I know.
He was witty.
And but he just a little bit reluctant when it comes to doing a day's work. He never did want to work too much, you know. Because he's not by himself. A lot of people that way, you know.
Well, you know, let me tell you.
They raised a family. I know where they did it. I don't know what he did.
Yes. You know, people have got to be sort of geared up gradually to this business of a steady job. We've talked about that before. Now, that takes a whole lot. And I don't know whether it's the best thing in the world or not.
You mean this steady work?
Yeah.
I don't think it's good for a person. Actually.
Yes.
That's the truth.
I know people that get along just as good by not working hard and not doing too much.
Yeah.
That's one reason I've always advocated that 5 days a week is enough for anybody.
Yeah,
however, whenever I was raised up, I always worked seven.
Yeah.
Then I got out of 6.5.
Yeah.
But during the Hoover days, you know, when everything was really going rough, you know, we run that garage up there on Sundays.
Yeah.
Sold gas and done work too.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a bunch of old log trucks around there, you know, at that time, and we'd work on them old log trucks.
Yeah.
And, you had to make a living.
To them.
Yeah, especially on a Saturday afternoon, because, see, they wasn't using them then.
Yeah.
And we just had to work Saturdays and Sundays to make a living back then. And then later on, I started working, and I quit working on Saturday afternoon, and that ain't been too long ago. It's because I was more or less used to working all day Saturday, you know. So I was working all day Saturday. That was 6 days a week. Finally, I cut out Saturday afternoon. My wife kept telling me, said, why don't you quit working on Saturday afternoon and relax and have a little fun? And I did. Here lately, I've been closing up on sometimes all day on Saturday.
Well,
and make just as much. You get along just as good 5 days to do six.
Yeah, but Saturday afternoon, now that, you see, if you stop that, close everything up. Somebody's got to sort of keep things going, and you can't go to town, you can't do anything. You know, that makes Saturday afternoon awful dull, Buster.
You mean the place closed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
You go in town, everything's closed up, and going out on fishing or picnic or something. it is dull.
Saturday afternoon is the time that you're supposed to stand around the front place that's already closed up and have a little jamboree talk.
That's
and have a bull session.
That's
right.
Because and you don't care whether they open or not.
Well, if they ain't open, you won't.
There's a certain amount of people going to open up anyway. Everybody ain't going to close up. You know that? There's going to be a certain amount of people going to stay open.
Afraid they miss a dime.
Kind of like Buck up there.
Yeah.
Man,
well,
it's going to kill him to talk about closing that store up. He'll almost cry.
Is that right?
Huh?
Buck? I said, he'd almost cry if you talk about closing that store up. He just loved to keep that thing open 7 days a week.
Well, now, he told me that it had got to the point where after dark, he didn't like to stay open there.
Well, I don't blame him.
But he is. He's staying there till bedtime.
Well, he's trusting the luck. He's taking a chance on making another dime. And knowing that he could get knocked in the head, but he's going to get that dime anyway. Because if he gets enough dime, that's why he'll pay for the plaster that goes over his head and he gets popped. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But it is dangerous, no kidding. It is dangerous. Well, people call me at night anymore, I don't go out.
Mm-mm. Even if they can open.
I don't give a hoot. No, sorry. I don't go out no more. You don't know who's calling you. You gotta be standing there and hook a chain on and they'll call somebody and knock you in the head, thinking you got some money on them, on you. You can't trust people no more. It's got to the point where you can't. Well, you take old Jim Merle in Gainesville, and I go to see him quite often.
Oh, do you?
And, them people up there scared to even unlock that door out there. They keep all them doors locked, all the window shades. They would, when dark comes, all them shades go down.
That's what I understand.
They do. And them people in Gainesville, I'm telling you, they afraid to even leave a window shade up. And all them doors are barred, I'm telling you. Well, they ain't barred, but they're closed and latched.
Where is
it? All over Gainesville. Most every place up there.
Well, where is Jim Brown?
He lives on 9th Road. You know, just as you go into Gainesville, that one little goes to the medical center and one turns to your right.
Yeah.
Just right up there.
Okay.
Close to where them Patterson girls live, you know, the Juanita Patterson down here. Yeah, man, them people, And they don't go to that door. He got a little old peephole where he can look through there and tell who's out there. I don't blame him. Because there's always somebody coming around at night. Up there. You think these old cities, you know.
Yeah, but they used to be. Buster, you know there are no police force. There's no policemen anymore.
Well,
they're just not any of them. Not any of them.
I know it.
And over there on the campus, they haven't got enough to regulate the traffic on the campus.
No.
No, sir.
Well, they don't pay them anything, I don't guess. That's probably one problem right there. They don't pay them a whole lot. You know, a cop don't make much money. Don't think. And they can't enforce the law anyway anymore, the way the federal government's got it.
Yeah.
If they do, they're fired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They can't do their job.
No, they could even hire these students and let them check off a lot of things over there. But they don't even do that. I don't know. And when they give them a ticket, it's just for a dollar.
Hmm.
So you don't have any regulation. People park where they want to. They pay a dollar.
You know, I notice they're parking on the highway over there, across that medical center. Have you noticed that lately?
No, I've been over there.
In other words, there's not enough room at that medical center.
Oh,
is that right?
They're parking between the railroad and the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all things.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I say do away with some of that lawn they got out there in front of that place. They don't need it. You got a great big lawn out there in the front. Who cares about looking at the lawn? You don't go there to look at the lawn. You go there to get well. And get out as quick as you can.
Yeah.
They don't need all that wasted space out there in that front.
Especially when you don't have enough room for cars.
That's right. And the same way over at the Veterans Hospital. They have to park way out there 4 miles and walk to the job over.
I've heard that.
And all that room out there just wasted.
Yeah, after we go out there and park and take a bus back to...
Back to where your automobile's parked at.
Yeah, back.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like calling them up and asking them, how much is the fare from the hospital out to the parking lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the big boss.
Uh-huh.
He's running the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that wasted space out there, you know.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Buster, what's, I think our friend, Patterson, what's his name? Burnett Patterson. I think he slowed down a little bit. Had you noticed?
No, he ain't slowed down. I don't make it up. He hadn't. Racing that old motor and slipping the clutch.
Same as ever.
He ain't slowed down now.
Slipping the clutch.
Yeah. Well, don't burn the thing out. You race over the motor and shove down the clutch before you left upon the gas. That ain't good for that old... And now I notice old Universal joints is all clattered in that thing. Where he's popping that old clutch, you know. He don't know how to drive no bus. And that white woman don't know how to drive too good. Now, Mrs. Dykes up there, she's a good driver. And Peggy Myers, you know, from the store up there,
yeah.
She's a good driver.
She's little.
But all, that don't make no difference. She's a good driver. But all the rest of them don't know a thing about driving.
And they ain't learning?
They don't seem to. Now, that woman that carried all them kids to school early in the morning, you know, man, she'll leave there and she'll have her little bus wide open. So why she don't wreck it? And then that colored woman and her, them kids told me the other day they was racing coming back to Mekinoka. Said one of them buses right behind the other. That colored woman right behind that white woman. Almost bumper to bumper. But them kids told me that.
You know, I never heard of that.
I haven't either.
Two buses racing.
Never.
No, but them kids told that for a fact.
I never even heard people talking about it.
That's the first time I've ever heard of it. But them kids, I said, y'all got here just about the same time. And them little Hannah boys from out there, and Beck, from out there at this side of Shiloh, said, man, says, we stayed ahead of that old bus, I believe you called it 108, or 98. And we stayed ahead of it, said, she tried to get around him, but said she didn't do it, said she had too much load on that bus, said she couldn't outrun us. And he's got semis up and down the road race. They're bad about it. You know, we went to Chattanooga, Tennessee not very long ago, you know, and Knoxville all up and down, you know, just on a trip, you know. When we come back through Atlanta, and there was 6 semis just racing, you know. And I didn't think one time I was going to get out of the way because 2 of them was just running side by side and me up ahead of them. And I was having
and
to make...
And they can go as fast as you can.
Faster! I had to make 75 miles out, stay ahead of them. And finally, one of them, I believe one on the right-hand side, back of me, slowed up, and the other one went ahead of him. Then he got around. And about 30 miles this side of Atlanta, one of them was laying on one side of the road, and one of them had done crossed that four-lane highway and was almost on the other side over there. And the wrecker hadn't even got there. The state troopers was there with their lights flashing. Made me so mad I wanted to stop and tell that old road patrolman. I said, well, I didn't expect nothing else. I said, they've been racing ever since they left out of Atlanta. It is more than 30 miles, because it was almost down there to Macon. It was about 100 miles down there, I guess.
Now, the patrolmen can tell that. They don't have
to. Yeah, but they don't pay attention to them. They don't. They just get out there and let them race. There was two coming up 75 not very long ago, the other side of Stuckey's, way down there. And some guy was behind them. And he kept flashing his lights, trying to tell them to get out of the way so he could go. And they're going up them hills, see, and they're losing their speed, you know, but they're side by side. And some New York car was popping his lights from dimmest to bright, you know, trying to tell him he wanted to get around. They were just blocking the traffic, you know. But them semis a long time ago didn't pull that kind of stuff, but here lately they do.
You know, one of the biggest revelations I ever had, I went over there at that same intersection over there to see one of my friends. He spent the night over there, and them big semis were parked out there. Them drivers had spent the night there at that big motel.
You mean over at Wilson Cutoff?
Yeah, it was where the Holiday Inn is.
Yeah, that's Wilson Cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere there.
Yeah, well, a lot of them stop at that little rest area out there, sleep in the truck, you know.
Ed was staying at the inn.
Yes.
All the inn.
Well,
$15
Well, most of them got a spending account,
yeah.
And they're allowed to do that.
And they're not poor anymore.
No.
You take these central truck drivers. Why they set the pace.
I know.
Oh, they got there. They've been making money for a long time. Several
years. I know it. Well, you take
know,
a truck, good truck driver can make $100 more than that. Make $100 to $125 a week, can't they?
Yes.
Sure they can.
Yes,
I hear them talk about it.
Not losing their sleep anymore. They used to, you know, they just live on cigars and coffee and just keep it going.
Yeah.
But they don't anymore.
Hmm.
They just work an 8-hour shift, don't they?
Yeah.
Stop and rest. Well, that's all right. But this recent, let me tell you, at night, sometimes it makes so much noise it wakes me up. It's when I'm sleeping on this side of the house. Now, if I'm over here, I don't hear it so bad. But I can hear them. They sound just about as loud as a train.
They do. Man, you don't hear nothing over.